The title of today's talk is Love, the Real Food. It's hard to keep perspective when the senses are so stimulated by objects, things, colors, whatever. And from day one, the senses of the baby are activated in a way in which they weren't when they were in the womb. So it's like a shocking bazaar of stimulation from the get-go. And it's almost like shock treatment to get them into their senses. The sense of touch and vision and taste and smell and all of those. They're shocked into activation, actually, when the baby is born. And that attraction from the shock to experiencing the five senses becomes the dominant motivator in the early development of the child's brain. So that shock has repercussions of what if or what is in the sense of the psyche. Not articulated, but let's say motivating nonetheless. The shock is, how do I get comfort from all this new stuff that I don't understand? And it's the love, the oxytocin chemicals that the mother and the father provide, mostly the mother in the beginning, to nurture and nurse the baby into comfort and the sense of love again. Because when the baby was in the womb, everybody was coming up and rubbing mother's tummy and offering love, let's say, normally. We have exceptions, of course. But basically, the baby in the womb is getting love. And then the shock of coming out, and maybe the first thing they can experience is a swack on the bottom to get them to cry, to get their lungs active, blah, blah, which they've found is maybe not the best motivation, but it was for years a motivating thing if the baby wasn't crying on the way out. So love was really the food in the beginning to nourish the nervous system. The body was nourished by nursing, and that brought a certain amount of contentment. But real contentment came from being loved, and that nourished the nervous system. What does that suggest? What does that suggest? Well, the Saint Mirabai, known as Mira from the early 1500s, she was born, I think, in 1498, lived to 1550. So she basically lived in the early 1500s. Living with that guy, how could you have not gone nuts? I bet he even lied, that coward. I know why God comes to this earth as man, in hopes of redeeming that gender. Sorry, guys. God knows he owes us women, big time, for the way those brutes usually act. Read history. Read history. Unfortunately, the driving energy is that the male has in the amygdala usually is a little larger than the woman's and is usually more supercharged with the energy of fight and flight. Now that's an assignment and a difficult one, to be tied up with tension of dominancy or need to control or be in control or have some kind of control over a situation. So the behavior that has evolved has been what we might call the crux of the warring concept, that war makes heroes, makes dead people, maimed people, but yeah. And who are the nurses? Why is a nurse called a nurse? Duh. The nurse is a nurse because that's who cares for the hurt and the injured. And has the, quote, patience and tenderness to heal. Have you noticed that surgeons almost never interface with their patient? They almost never look at the results of their surgery. They leave that to the nurses. Why? Why is it that it's always, let's say, put to the male doctor that he has not really great bedside manner. Bedside manner. What does that mean? No tenderness, no real emotional caring. Well, that's kind of sad. So maybe it's an assignment that is really difficult. The seed of longing for love is there, but the assignment of energy is blocking. So there's a war going on already within the male psyche. Strength, defensiveness, reactionalism, and at the same time, longing. Well, well, well. So, and in a way, it's been the woman's role to nurture and try to care for from day one that duplicity in baby boys. Nurturing basically the little daughter or girl is generally considered easier until they get to teenage. And then we have some opportunities with, I don't want to be like you. Just a second here. God has a special interest in women, for they can lift this world to their breast and help him comfort. It's interesting that we're finally getting women in more, let's say, political positions, director positions. And partly that is due to the fact of technology. Because if you think about it, somebody has to wash the diapers. And somebody has to cook the meals. And if it's the log cutter and the cabin builder, in the brute energy area, generally, that falls to the male. And so if there is offspring, A number one, we have to go through the period of offspring, which means probably building cabins isn't what you normally would do during pregnancy. And walking a half a mile to carry buckets of water to come back. and, you know, planting the garden and caring for the garden and all that. So the division of work in the, let's say, early history kind of became obvious. But that didn't mean that the work of loving needed to be divided unequally. But it was because of the character of the energy needed or developed for going to war and building castles and mining and all of that sort of thing. So here we are. The appreciation of the difference, but at the same time, having an overview statement that love is the creator. Love is the creator. So now we have a conflict. A woman can say, yeah, yeah, that's easier for her to experience and harder for the guy to experience unless he is stimulated with a load of oxytocin or other chemicals that quicken his heart center as opposed to his amygdala of fight and flight. His need to express strength or to dominate or to create in a competitive world. So it's been a struggle between male and female. But it's interesting that we're getting more female people involved in more public life. And part of that came when men's work changed. It used to be that men couldn't type. They couldn't go get their own coffee. It seemed to be a female task. But along came computers and they got fascinated. So then they started being their own secretaries. And they didn't realize they were tricked into it. And so what then happened is it liberated more women to be organizers, which meant management. Isn't that interesting? So it's just been kind of an interesting evolution when washers and dryers and irons and running water and things like that came into existence. The role that the woman played went through major transition. And then it became hard for a man to kind of cope with that new organization. But more so when the computer hit. That became a huge transition because everything could be done from a desk for millions of men who didn't ever sit still. They were always doing something. So the transition is moving faster than we know. And the idea that we are in a place where love, the food of soul, the food actually of body. We don't realize it, but love makes a healthier body. Why would a nurse be an important equation in bringing a body to health? The radiation from caring, heart caring, is an important aspect of health. And if we want to be healthy, so isn't it time for two people sitting at computers to be able to look at each other and say, you're as responsible for love as I am. Oh, darn. God has a special interest in women, for they can lift this world to their breast and help him comfort. But as God knows he owes women big time for the way those brutes usually act. I know why God comes to this earth as a man. You ever thought about that? In hopes of redeeming that gender. In other words, if you look at the idea of the masters in, like Jesus, the love image is squarely amplified at that place, which is unique, if you think about it. But because in history so many masters have been men, you go, Why? So that men can identify finally with the softness of love. So if they're inclined, they are then amplified by that example. It's a very important thing. That it's okay to be loving. It's okay. Christ was. Buddha was. Confucius was. Over and over and over again, we have male masters that spoke always about love. They didn't teach war techniques. Think about that. What did they teach? They taught about love. And if you think of what men were teaching, what were they teaching? Oh, well, how to build bridges, how to put up walls, how to go to war, how to do metallurgy, how to go to mining. Did they teach about love? Very few. So the mystery is that we didn't get the mystery. Didn't get the picture that was why the imagery of a loving master was so important. So that the male, if he had a propensity or an intention, could feel okay about being a loving person. Overtly loving, clearly a loving character. Well, 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 isn't that interesting? Something to contemplate when you have nothing better to do. What did the mother buffalo say to her little boy when he went off to school? Bye, son. What do you get when you eat onions and beans? Tear gas. What do you use to fix a broken tomato? Tomato paste. Why do golfers wear two pairs of pants? In case they get a hole in one. What did the tie say to the hat? You go on ahead and I'll just hang around. Why didn't Noah fish very often? He only had two worms. How much do pirates pay for their earrings? A buccaneer. If Mr. and Mrs. Bigger had a baby, who would be the biggest of the three? The baby, because he's a little bigger. Anyway. We take ourselves way, way too seriously. But contemplating down into the idea of why there are differences and how they are evolving is important at this time because we're moving very rapidly. And we really don't have the ability to foresee what's coming. How science and technology may move forward and change things dramatically without our knowledge of it. It's like no one would have thought that a computer would have changed the relationship between jobs as fast as the computer did, or as radically as it has. And now we're moving into AI time, and we don't know where that momentum will lead, but we know it's changing things already. And can we get enough control focus to see what is important of what may be coming with the technology? Or will we be consumed by our ignorance in technology? And at the same time, we are definitely on the cusp of a huge amount of biological, energetic change from climate and what's happening globally, and we can pretend we know that we can maybe do something about it, but we really don't know where, how that will get taken care of, if it will get taken care of. Are we being driven, or do we really have options? So it's important to understand that what we understand is very marginal. Because when you have close to 8 billion people with access to technology, and with individual drives and an accumulation of a huge amount of population that is not psychologically or physiologically well, what's going to happen? And if we have the tools to be inwardly quiet and seek inspiration, we can be directed more, let's say, we will experience being directed in exactly the right way, rather than guessing, making inappropriate, uneducated guesses. And I say uneducated, it doesn't matter how educated you are, you can't outguess what 8 billion people can do. Or what God power might do globally or universally. We don't know. So the best we can do is stay lighthearted. Let the mud settle and stop thinking you know what is going to happen technologically or worldwide or in your environment or in the next 10 minutes. The only way that our minds get off with thinking they know something is forgetting they know nothing. They know nothing except they have the tools to be inspired, quiet, relaxed, joyful, in an energy field of receptivity as opposed to an energy field of go get 'em, doing. Well, we see where that's gotten us. But that's something that has been done to us. Biologically, historically, we've been driven to where we are. But individually, just as the difference between the genetic, biological, let's say, structure of the differences between the sexes, we're at a place where we can see that that was a structured time and now we're in a new structure of time. We're in a new structure of time. And unless we can get really receptive, we'll do same old in a new, rapidly changing world, which won't work. So it's really incumbent upon us to allow inspiration, space to exist in us in a clearer way, to open the door rather than having shouting and banging on the door to get in, or just kicking you down the hall and making you behave one way or another. Much better to be gently moved than to be jerked around to your destiny. So quietly, quietly, open-heartedly as can be, as often as can be, is nursing the soul within. Letting it express itself without fighting with the biology of resistance. Now, it can move you either way, but if you've learned the lesson of being available to the soul as opposed to unavailable, resistant to, things change. Things change. And if you really look at the history of the masters and the saints, they were one way and then they were another way. So they came to a place where transmutation took place through changes of behavior and energy that finally transmuted the behavior. So that's what the path of the masters has always been about. And it seems as though we're being led to a period of time of great change that nobody seems to know who will control or what will control. And there's one controller, God. So why not try to stay on closer frequency to God, power, inspiration, rather than try to figure out what manpower can do or not do? God power has unlimited capacity. Manpower has God power but doesn't know it. And so it may be a rocky road along the manpower without knowledge of God power road. So I kind of believe that when the teacher is tired of teaching the lesson, what would the students do? Not learn the lesson? To force the teacher to go on teaching? Or to learn the lesson? No one knows what the time idiom is. No one knows. I mean, we can pretend we think we're gonna, you know, go on and there'll be an election and hoopla, blah, blah, blah. But now is really a critical time. It's a critical time because we're on the verge of enough knowledge to know that we're on the verge. And so pretending we're not on the verge is kind of like a stupid idea. It's a stupid idea. And we have enough lessons from history on of what doesn't work, what is wasteful. And they're all there for us to look at. So we might say it's foolish to ignore where we're at when we know we're at a transitional time And one way or another, individually or socially, things are going to change. And are we ready to be in tune with the greatest possibility of being aware, of being inspired through this, or just dragged and kicked down the road? Well, my dears, it's important to make some clearer commitment in the sense, and I don't mean like, you know, bite your fingernails off down to the quick. I mean, just, what's the problem with being joyful and loving? But joyful and loving to the point that you settle so that you're receptive and know that there's only one doer, and that is the hardest lesson of all. The one doer. And to look beyond the illusions and ask to see the light behind, the love behind. It doesn't seem difficult to ask, but it is difficult to overcome conditioning. So that's the important thing to remember. You can only overcome conditioning by remembering that that's what you're about. You have to overcome your conditioning. And that's how you'll finally be aware of greater inspiration, being inspired, as opposed to thinking it out. Thinking it out. No. You can't think it out. The only thing you can do is commit to attuning to the open heart and to the ability to be receptive to the soul within, the God power within. But the God power within everything, not just you. If you're not quiet with your God within, how will you ask to see the God within the other? You can't just keep asking to see the God within the other when you can't even ask to see the God within, the soul within, to feel the love of God within. Why would you ask it of somebody else when you can't do it within? If God is in everything God has created, then. So, starting from home plate, before you hit out to the outfield and get a home run, it's good to actually stand up to home plate with your bat up and wait to receive the incoming ball before you can hit a home run. A home run. A home run. Before you actually move into action, hit the home run, you have to receive the ball. You have to receive the inspiration before you can hit the home run. Boring game, baseball, but you know, it's been around for generations. Okie dokie, Lokis. It's love is the true food of our nervous system, of our isness. How hard is that to remember?